Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Wallisoff. And we've been having a
Hi, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going right into it. We've had a wonderful conversation.
And you pronounced the last name correctly.
Oh, I do my best. I mean, I have trouble with last names, but Ruth's
many
I know. And we've had a nice conversation so far about the importance of Project Independence in You.
It's vital, really, and precious.
And we've talked about, we didn't really talk that much, but we do go out and make partnerships. And one of our partnerships is, we'll be on right now, which is Carmine DeSena. And Carmine is the Director of Psychiatric Rehabilitation.
For the Zucker Hillside Hospital at Northwell.
Okay, which is right there off Lakeville Road. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And our conversation with Carmine, you don't mind if I just call you Carmine?
No.
This morning is stress management. And we talked about it just a few minutes ago. It's, you know, as people die around you, especially in the winter months, It can be very depressing. And the kids don't call. And even if they call, they're not going to spend on the phone for 5 hours with you.
And you want them to.
Right.
Yeah. You have empty time in your life, it seems.
Yeah. And I think when you're talking about stress management, you have to first think about that stress is a signal. Any feeling that we have is a signal that something's going on and that maybe we should take action. In the same way, like if when you were younger, if you're feeling anxious before a test, that's a natural feeling. It's going to push you to study for that test. If the anxiety gets so severe that you don't get out of bed, then we have a different problem. And the same thing with stress. Stress is a feeling. It may be boredom. It may be that you're upset you're not hearing from your kids, or you're worried about people that you love who are not doing well. There could be a lot of reasons why you're feeling stressed.
Okay.
But the great thing about this radio show and the project is it talks about the one thing that really can help us with stress, which is planning.
Okay.
You know, and the first thing we'd like to do when we're talking about stress is try to understand what that stress is about. Is it a real stress that you have to handle a problem, or is it a perceived stress? Are you worried about the kids for no reason, or are you worried about the kids because, you know, they're going to be doing something today that's tough? So I think, you know, we have to think about what is the trigger for the stress.
Can I ask a question there?
Sure.
You're saying real or perceived. Right, and somebody's worried for no reason.
Well, they think there's a reason.
Exactly.
So perceived is real stress, too.
Yes, it's absolutely real, but I guess what we're trying to figure out is what is the stress? Is it something? So sometimes when people are feeling something, I try to ask them to think of it in a concrete term. In other words, what concrete evidence do you have that this is a concern rather than, you know.
No, that's where I was going. Okay.
Yeah, so try to make some sort of sense of it. And again, I think if you look at it as a problem, this is a signal that something's on my mind and I have to clarify that. Well, whether it's a real stress or perceived stress, obviously if your friend is getting an operation, that's a real stress.
Right.
If you're worried that your friend coughed and has some serious illness, that's something that maybe you are perceiving. So I think you have to think about what is that. And I think even when you get older, at any age, self-awareness is so important. You know, environmental awareness is so important. You know, what's going on with you? What's going on in the world around you? And you know, when you step back, you know, is there something you need to take care of? Is that something you can do? And certainly getting a ride from a ride service or things like that is better than spending hours the day before worrying about how you're going to get somewhere or you're going to fall. So I think a lot of that is kind of what's causing the stress. Try to identify those triggers and then do what you did your whole life, which was everything you've done in your life is about organizing yourself, making a plan, taking an action. I mean, you don't get to be, you know, 60, 70, 80, and 90 without a plan, most of us. I mean,
right.
So I think a lot of times
And planning is like, for example, calling the car service for Project Independence.
Absolutely. Well, giving yourself a schedule. See, the problem I think a lot of times with seniors is when you stop working, when you don't have the same group of friends, when the kids aren't around as much, you don't have that schedule. And a schedule is a way that forces you to plan. So one of the things I would do is I would say, build yourself a schedule. Look at your week.
That's
what do you have to do?
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
And then I think what happens is when you start to kick in, the way that you operated in your early life, it helps you with your later life. Because whether you built a schedule or not, when you had to go to work, when you had to take care of the kids, when you had to do all of those things, you had a schedule. So I think it's really important that people not look at an empty day.
Right.
I think they should look at a scheduled day, a scheduled week.
Especially when one is older. Because when you were young, you went to school, then you had a job, and you did. You were structured. Right. But so when you're older, there are so many changes that it's very difficult.
I stress with clients. I'm a financial advisor, and I stress because I've seen the disasters that happen when you retire and have nothing to do, and your scheduling is so important. It's like you getting up at 7:30 in the morning, you had a meeting, and you didn't get home till 6 o'clock at night. On Friday, you left. Monday morning, what are you doing? Tuesday, and you're going to buy a boat. If you didn't have a boat, I'm 65, I'm not going to have a boat. So when I retire, I'm going to buy a boat. Well, I would have been a boat already. You would have been a skier. You make these things up in your head. At the age of 65 or 70, you're not going to start these things. But you have friends, you can make dinner appointments, you can, so many things with project independence and meet people. But the scheduling part, and it's not even sinking in, you're stressing it. It's a schedule. It's not I keep telling them do something, but you're making it clearer. Make a schedule.
I think that's a great idea.
So when I was a very young counselor, I had a very profound experience. I was asked to develop programs for the seniors in the hospital. And all of those people were people like you and I who just became depressed as they got older. It wasn't people who had maybe a lifelong mental health issue. And I was visiting nursing homes, and I was taken to the room of this one person, and she had been a science teacher, and she was in a terrible accident. And she had become a paraplegic. So this is a devastating. And she had a whole schedule of activities. Many of them were listening to scientific programs. And that stuck with me. So here was someone totally immobile, totally dependent on other people. But she had the wherewithal to say, I need a schedule of activities for the day that bring me joy and make me interested, and that has stayed with me my whole life. And I realized
I can understand that. Right. She must have been an extremely positive person.
She was, but what I thought was really powerful was that she had this insight to say, whatever my situation is, if I'm going to live, I need to be doing something. Mm-hmm. And I think throughout all my work with younger people and older people, because we transition people usually with mental health disabilities, but with other disabilities, we get them jobs, we get them back to school, we help them live independently in community. But that was really a centerpiece of whatever I did. You have to be active, because when you're active, you reassure who you are. So that was a profound, I think, moment as me as a counselor. That was a free class, because
yes,
I wasn't in school. But I think that's carried through in all of my work, and certainly when I'm working with people who are older, I'm trying to get them back into doing something, back into a schedule.
And that's very important. I mean, it's we have so many project independence areas of socialization. But you have to get that first step, which is a tough one also, though. Get out. Go. I mean, that's a bigger question for you. How do you get them to get the first step? You can say, my, you got to get out. Oh, no, you know, it's cold. It's this.
Some people are shy.
They have a million excuses.
It's not easy for them.
So some of the things I think are important is that sometimes the best way to get someone out is to do better with them in. Now, I know this is going to sound a little weird, but what happens is a lot of people just kind of lose their sense of self. They stop maybe taking care of themselves. And one of the things that seniors do a lot is they stop pampering themselves. And there's sort of this loss of who they are. And so what I say to people who may be in that beginning stage, I'm trying to engage them, you know, I want you to tell me five things you love doing that you can do. And that may be as simple as a bubble bath. It may be as simple as having a dessert you really like. But I think the first step may be to get people back to the thought, I'm a person, I have interests, there are things I like, there are things I love, and get them to start thinking about themselves a little more. Because if people are anxious, or if people are stressed, or people feel like they don't have value, it's hard for them to go into a room with a bunch of people they don't know.
Right.
Right, right,
you
right. know.
So I think we have to start with them with, like, pamper yourself.
And I think the thing that you did was tell me five things that you love makes them realize that their life is not over.
Right.
I think many people, when they're older and they lose their job or they lose a member of their family or a friend, they think that their life is over.
Right.
And that's very depressing.
But I also think even non-seniors kind of lose track of themselves. I mean, my attitude about it is smell the roses even if you have to buy them. And I think that's really important. And I think there are things that we don't do. Like we don't, on a daily basis, whether we're young or old, practice gratitude. We don't think about anything that happened during the day that we feel grateful for. We don't always sit down and savor like a meal or a great cup of tea. You have to take a few minutes to really, you know, do those things again. And one of the things I think is a really good thing for anyone to do, older or younger, is sometimes when people reminisce, they start to feel the loss. And I think journaling is a great thing, but I think if you're going to journal, it should be, you have to give yourself a positive topic, like the best pair of shoes I ever bought, you know, the day that I felt most successful. You want to kind of steer that reminiscing even into a positive way. So certainly changing your thinking is really crucial to managing stress. You want to have a more positive outlook.
You're reminding me of a pair of shoes I bought at B. Altman's when I was in college.
Right.
And I'll never forget those shoes. So anyhow,
so you're not going to tell us about what they look like?
Well, they were black suede and they were pretty. And they were more expensive than anything I had bought at that time. And so I was young, very young. And I was kind of flirting with the salesman. And I said to him, you know, they're extremely expensive. I said, how long can I have them? He said, they're guaranteed for life. And I took him literally. So 2.5 years later, I went to a dance in the afternoon. And it was raining outside. And of course, I ruined the shoes because they were black suede. And I had worn them a lot, so they didn't really owe me anything. But at that time, I was very nervy, not like I am now, because life has taken its toll. And I went to B. Altman's and I said, look at these shoes. Look how horrible they are. They were supposed to be guaranteed for life. This is a true story. And they said to me, okay, we'll give you another pair of shoes. And they gave me another pair of shoes, but they were $2 cheaper than the ones I had bought. And I said, what about the $2? So they refunded me the $2. And that's why B. Altman is out of business.
Right. Because of you.
But that's a good story, Ruth.
I think I should pay you, Ruth, because you just totally illustrated my exact point. By having that positive reminiscence, you remembered what a strong individual you were. You remembered that you had negotiating skills. You remembered that you went out dancing. And that I think that's kind of what's important. So I will pay you for that.
Thank you.
But I think that that's what I'm talking about. We have to get back to who we were and stop thinking about what's not there. Because usually people have jobs, they've raised kids, people have been problem solving their whole life. So we have to remember that we do have skills and we do have abilities. And we do have the right to ask for help from the project you're talking about.
Right.
As part of the planning. So mm-hmm. I think it's the idea that putting you in a thinking mode, in a problem solving mode, rather than an anxiety mode, if that makes any sense.
It does. And we're going to continue on it. We're going to take a break though now.
Sure.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.